The scripture reading for this morning will be Psalm chapter 22, verses 25 through 31. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it.
Good morning to my siblings in Christ here at Glenpool. It is good to see you once again. It's been a while. We've endured quite a year, haven't we? So I left full-time ministry and bought Scott's Hamburgers and got just in time to deal with COVID for that. And also always had the intention of continuing to fill in preach at various places as I had opportunity and got COVIDed for that. And we've had a lot of people, I'm sure, in our lives that have been affected by it. It has been a difficult season for sure. I don't know how many of you have lost someone, but I've lost a very good friend from that terrible virus. So I'm sure some of the rest of you understand the challenges that this year has had. But the Lord is good. He continues to be good, and he continues to see us through our troubled time. And it is nice to read the Psalms sometimes and be reminded that we are not the first to be afflicted, to go through trials and struggles that this life sometimes brings in a fallen world. And yet the Lord still remains with his people, and he remains with us. And we need to lift up our eyes unto him and trust in him to see us through. Sometimes things seem out of place, don't they? You look around. I remember back in my Sesame Street days. That's been a number of years ago. But my Sesame Street days, you know, we had these songs like, one of these things is not like the other, right? One of these things is not the same. And on the screen, I'm sure the kids here could help me figure out which one of these is not the same in the picture. Sometimes things are not where they are supposed to be. They seem out of place. Here's a little bit different situation. I don't know what's going on with this guy. This looks like everybody's going to the prom, and this guy decided to dress very differently than that. And just for a little laughter, but sometimes, you know, we see things and they don't blend in, right? They immediately pop out to us, and we're like, wait a minute, what is going on? I have no idea what any of these pictures really are centered upon or what they're trying to express, other than they fit my illustration this morning, and so I use them. What about when things are out of place and yet it is exactly the way God wanted it to be? What about when things seem out of place, when things are not as we might think, humanly speaking, only things are out of whack? They don't really add up. And such is going to be the case this morning. We're going to look in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, that's where we will be and spend most of our time anyway together this morning. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26 is going to be a story about the good news that is the gospel of Jesus Christ traveling. It is moving. And good news travels. Sometimes good news travels fast, doesn't it? Sometimes it just travels. Sometimes people try to squelch good news. They try to turn good news into something that they don't want to get out, and yet somehow, some way, it finds a way out. There have been places in the world, including even today, where it is illegal for certain things to be spoken of, including the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet the good news gets out. It travels. You cannot keep it hidden. People have tried. Now, not us, because we do the opposite, right? We hold all kinds of campaigns. We hold Bible class series that are focused on evangelistic efforts. We sit around and we try to throw ideas out of how can we reach people? Can we do it better in person? Can we do it better through the internet? Can we do it better with radio or television? Is that our money well spent? Is there other ways to go about it? Should we send it more to missionaries overseas? You get the point, right? But we are a people who are about getting the good news out. But even if we stopped, I'm going to suggest to you, don't stop. But even if we stopped, God would nudge. And in some cases, He might just break the doors open and make it happen anyway. Notice some observations with me this morning of how odd Acts chapter 8, verse 26, how odd this story is about an unnamed individual that we only know as some Ethiopian eunuch. We know a little about the Ethiopian eunuch and his position and what he was doing, what we might say his job, so to speak. We know very little else about that individual. We know a little bit more about Philip, who becomes evangelist number one here, primary individual sent to discuss the gospel with this Ethiopian. But this message of Jesus Christ is continuing to spread. The hope continues onward, even when all the wrong people are involved. And I'm going to tell you this morning, this is the wrong people to be involved. Now, I'm talking humanly here for a moment. As we think of this humanly, these are the two wrong people to be involved in this story. But then there's God. The story of Philip and an unidentified Ethiopian, to me, is a very strong example of how deeply involved and deeply rooted the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was in the hearts of the early disciples. Remember with me for a moment before we get into the story. A little backstory. Recall with me for a moment in Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to notice verses 5 and 8. Just 5 and 8 from Acts chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 5 says, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then it says in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now this was the 12 who were there on this occasion, the apostles. And they are being commissioned specifically for the task at hand of the advancement of the gospel, right? We're with each other at this point, right? Now recall with me Acts chapter 6. Again, a little bit more of the backstory. You remember this in Acts chapter 6, beginning of verse 1, where it says, now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose by the Hellenists or Greek against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. There is a physical need that is not being met for widows. And it says that the 12, here we are again, the 12, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Why? Because they're too good to serve on tables? No, because they were commissioned very specifically by Jesus Christ before His ascension to be about the preaching of the word and to be about focusing on prayer as well. And so what takes place? Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. and we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now notice among them. This says, please the whole gathering. And so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and on the list goes. We can stop there because the point is to get to Philip. Who is Philip in this story? Philip is to serve. Philip is to be one of the ones to take care of the physical daily needs, to serve the tables. Who was to be, according to Acts chapter 6, the ones who were dedicated to the preaching and advancement of the gospel, the evangelistic, primarily the evangelistic efforts of this time? That's the 12. Just like Jesus said back in chapter 1. But then, Acts chapter 8. It says that after the execution of Stephen, that a person by the name of Saul, who approved of this execution, was leading a charge against the early disciples. There arose on that day a great persecution, it says in Acts 8 and verse 1. It was against the church in Jerusalem, and it says that they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Except who? Except the apostles. It's all very important. Timeline it with me. The apostles, the 12, commissioned for the advancement of the word and to be focused in prayer. People like Philip and others, specifically set out to take care of daily needs. But then this persecution arises and there is a scattering. Things get disrupted. Church isn't happening in the way that we're used to it happening. People are all over the place. And they all are being scattered about, except the apostles find a way to stay in Jerusalem. So it says that devout men buried Stephen, made great lamentation over him. And it says, but Saul continued ravaging the church. He entered a house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. And then in verse 4, notice this. It says, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. You're being called to something different all of a sudden. A job change. In mid-flight. Why? Because the good news of Jesus Christ needed to travel. And it was going to travel. Even if the apostles themselves were going to be held up in Jerusalem and these people are being scattered, it didn't matter. The message was just going to continue to travel on and on. God was using a bad situation in human eyes, and I might even suggest, yes, not something that you would sign up for. Who wants to sign up for persecution? Who wants to sign up for someone beating on your door and dragging you, your wife, maybe perhaps even your children, off to prison, perhaps even putting some of you to death? Anybody want to sign up for that? I'm going to say probably not. And yet God is using a bad situation and He is turning it for good. Is that not what He always does? Is that not what He continues to do? Have we not had opportunities, odd as they may be, though no one would sign up for COVID, have we not had strange opportunities arise in the last year in an effort to speak some kind of good news to someone who is struggling? I am convinced that some good things will end up coming through a very terrible situation or many, many tragic situations. Because that's what God has always done. That's what He will continue to always do. to bring hope. Hope to everyone. Hope to everyone everywhere. Right? Hope to everyone everywhere. How odd of a situation you have where now it is Philip who is supposed to be, if all things had stayed the same, he should be just back in Jerusalem serving daily meals. And now all of a sudden he is evangelist on the run, and yet everywhere he goes, he's just preaching the good news as he goes. And we're going to this major metropolis, right? This huge place with millions and millions of people. No, the Spirit of God and the angel of the Lord and all this language is in there. Prods Philip along to go into an unlikely area. How many of us would think in our minds the best evangelistic effort for today when you leave here is let's just drive to the middle of nowhere in western Oklahoma. Let's find some dirt road somewhere, travel down a path, and just see who we encounter and talk to them about Christ. Does that sound like, you know, does that sound like it makes any sense to you? And yet that's what takes place. Because everyone, everywhere mattered and continues to matter. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." Luke is including this little addendum, this little extra note, so that you won't miss it. I believe maybe even by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that we here today, in 2021, in America, won't go, "I don't know anything about a road from Jerusalem to Gaza. What does that even mean?" And certainly, I don't know what it meant in the first century when this is taking place. And we might read past the whole point. This is a wilderness road. This is a wilderness area. This is a deserted area. It's not a place people live. It's a place maybe bandits might hide out to try to steal things as people are traveling from bigger cities or bigger areas of population. That itself kind of doesn't make any sense in human terms. But he got up and went. Why? Because when the angel of the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. As a person of faith, when God speaks, we respond. Or do we? Do we? Do we respond when it fits what I already wanted to do? Do we respond when it makes sense to us? Or if the Lord speaks, do we go? I would confess that there are times where I have only gone when it made sense to me. There have been times where I've only gone when it's what I already wanted to do. And there may have been a few times where something I wanted to do, I found a way to try to make it to where the Lord told me to. But I'm probably alone in that. So bear with me. He gets up and he goes. And it says there's an Ethiopian eunuch, this court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. That's probably not a name, by the way. That's probably more of a term like Herod, the Herods. It was probably a title, so to speak, an honorary title, because there seems to be many Candace-type names in and around this time of history. But regardless, Queen of the Ethiopians, Ethiopian eunuch, is a court official in charge of the treasury fairly significant job, so to speak, a task that he is left in charge of. And it says that he had come to Jerusalem to worship. So let's look at some of this a little bit further. We've already talked about Philip probably enough and how he's out of place. And do we ever really consider how the Ethiopian eunuch is out of place? Have we looked at the perspective of it? Probably not. And maybe we have. Maybe we have. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe all of you have. But I found it to be glossed over a lot. And I know why it's probably glossed over. And mothers and fathers and anyone here that is squeamish about certain conversations, I'll do my best to keep this on the level that is fair to all people of all ages. But you do need to understand there's a purpose for why eunuch is brought out. This is something that was done to people who would serve, who were foreigners, who would serve in a royal court in some form or fashion. Truthfully, much of that had to do with not being able to overthrow the kingdom. For instance, you know that historically, most kingdoms were passed through a bloodline, right? I mean, this is not new news. So how do we make sure that one of my servants inside the court, who's going to know everything, know all the little details of what's going on in the kingdom, how am I going to make sure that that person has no chance to have an heir to overthrow me as the king or the leader, a queen or whatever it might be? I would make it to where they could not have children. Okay, am I doing okay with this so far? So eunuch is a situation that was brought upon people at a very young age when they were determined to be brought in for this particular point of service. So they were raised this way. You will find that in Daniel, you find the very same thing is happening and taking place. In fact, the young men, the best of the best young men in the book of Daniel in chapter 1 who are brought and they're being retrained in Nebuchadnezzar's way of thinking and his way of language and his way of understanding the world and renaming them even to represent more of the pagan gods instead of the one true Lord God. When that's happening in the exile, as you read about it in Daniel chapter 1, you find that those young men are brought to the chief of the eunuchs. Okay? Being raised themselves to be a part of the royal court and to serve, and educated very, very well in the ways of that particular culture's world. So Ethiopian eunuch that we have no name for is a very well-educated individual, but is a foreigner. Why is he going to Jerusalem to worship? And you say, well, he was a proselyte to the Jewish faith. Okay, that's probably the truth, but do you understand how rare that was? I'm trying to set the stage here for not only Philip is not where he's supposed to be, and I realize he is, but bear with me. Humanly speaking, he's supposed to be back in Jerusalem serving tables. The story is already a little odd. Not only is the location strange, where this is not happening in Jerusalem, this is now out in a desert area. But an Ethiopian proselyte to the Jewish faith who has come to Jerusalem to worship, and oh yeah, by the way, he's a eunuch. Well, what does that matter? You're making me uncomfortable, preacher. Could you move off of that? No, I can't. I can't because it's central to the story and it's been glossed over too many times. Do we realize the absurdity of this? Well, maybe we don't remember Leviticus. I know, right? Leviticus. Why do we have to go to Leviticus this morning? Yeah, you're going to have to do that, and then I'm going to also take you to Deuteronomy, so bear with me just a moment. Leviticus chapter 21. Verse 20, you don't have to turn there. Just, if you want to, you can listen. I got to back up. I've got to start in verse 18. I got to get you some context. So I'm going to start in 21 and verse 18 of the book of Leviticus. For no one who has a blemish, it says, shall draw near, nor a man blind, nor lame, nor one who has a mutilated face, or a limb too long, or a man who has an injured foot, or a man who has an injured hand, or one who is a hunchback, or a man who is a dwarf, or one who has a defect in his eyesight, or someone who has an itching disease or scabs, or someone who has crushed testicles. Uh-oh. Well, what about Deuteronomy? Stay with me just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 1, it says this. No one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. You uncomfortable? I'm sorry. Take it up with the Lord. He put it there, not me. He's not supposed to be in the assembly. That's why it had to be said. I know, elders, I'm sorry. You know, they're not inviting me back. They're already back. One of them's back at the back. You know, he's like, oh, man, I invited this guy. I'm hitting the back door. He's not supposed to be there. Where? He's not supposed to be in the assembly to worship the Lord. What is he doing there? That's why I said this is all absurd in human terms. And they're going to meet along a path as he's on his way home. Yeah, that's because the good news travels. Let's get it back to something good here. None of these obstacles, none of these things that normally might get in the way are getting in the way. Why? Because God won't allow it to get in the way. Do you think God allows these obstacles to get in the way today? If you do, when did God decide he was going to start letting obstacles get in the way of his gospel message going out? I don't think he's allowing it to get in the way. You have an entire movement of early Christianity. This is a picture, by the way, of an early, early church building or a place of worship in Ethiopia. And there are at least some historical connections or record that is convinced that in some way this unnamed Ethiopian that meets Philip in a deserted place on his way back to do his job after worshiping in Jerusalem, which already is a strange situation all the way around, and this or something about what would later come happens because of it. Let me say this, the educated need guidance. I probably will get some pushback on this, and that's okay. It won't be the first time I've had pushback in a lesson. We have a tendency, and I'm going to say it, we have a tendency to say, you check that preacher out, right? You do your own study. And while I really appreciate the spirit of that, the legalistic side of that can turn you into kind of a person who goes your own way in your own thoughts. And that's really not the idea that we're getting at. The idea is to not let one person kind of ramrod and influence and change the doctrinal trajectory, right, of the faith. But to say that you wouldn't appreciate someone who has some insight that maybe you haven't ever had the chance to delve into that. That's a whole other thing. I wonder how much this Ethiopian eunuch had studied Isaiah. He has his own copy, at least partial copy of Isaiah. Has that dawned on you yet? Another kind of strange absurdity to this particular text, when humanly speaking. Printing press. Nope. Handwritten scrolls. How valuable were they? You think about it. And yet he's reading from Isaiah. He himself on a journey is sitting there and he's reading from Isaiah. Why is he reading from Isaiah, you might imagine? Well, that makes perfect sense to me. Because Isaiah is a prophet for the downtrodden. Isaiah is the prophet that talks about how those who are on the outskirts will be brought in. Isaiah is the prophet who gives hope to someone like a eunuch. Isaiah is the one who says the time is coming and there's going to be a change. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And blessed is the man who does this, and then the son of man who holds it fast. The one who keeps my Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am one that is but a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. You have been a victim by someone in charge who feared that you might rise up and do something to them and somehow come and usurp their authority and come above them and rise above them. And so they have done something to you. But let me tell you, no matter who you are, you will not be cut off. I think you might now understand why this Ethiopian loved him some Isaiah. How somehow he scratched together money, I don't know, treasury, I'm not going there, but he found a way that he was able to get at least a section of Isaiah to where he could be reading it. If you were him and you had a copy of Isaiah, and that's all you had, how much would you read? How often would you read? Would you probably have at least large sections of Isaiah memorized? I'm going to say you probably would. And Philip runs up to him, hears him reading from Isaiah, and he says, do you understand what you are reading? And the reply is, I absolutely understand it. I've had the book of Isaiah memorized for ages. Now he says, how can I? Unless someone guides me. I think this gentleman probably knew a lot. I think being raised as a royal court employee, to use our terminology, and trained well and educated well meant that he was able to understand great things. But he was a humble enough of an individual to know he needed a little assistance in this. That we would be so humble. So the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: like sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he did not open his mouth. Yes, even the educated sometimes need some guidance in things, even the well-read ones. Because the message of Christ and his life being laid down, the Lamb of God, willing to go to the cross, that message, it is a deeper message than we sometimes really realize. It is as easy as can be to where the littlest of child can understand when we say, tell me the story of Jesus. And it is so complex at the same time. I mean, is that not true? We can read the passages and we can read the story and we can get it. But then we go back and we read it again and we're like, yeah, but I think I get it a little more. Why? Why is it that every time we go back and retell the story of Jesus Christ, why is it that we get it a little more and it becomes a little more of us? It's because it's both easy and complex. And I'm convinced that way because our Lord is both right there and yet so deep and so vast that we will forever be able to pursue and never fully get there. There will always be a little bit more for some of us. And I'm that way and I know it. I've told people I sometimes used to apologize for it. I quit apologizing for it. I know I keep searching for it more. I keep wanting to scratch. There's like this inner desire to delve more and more and more. Find out what all God has for us. But sometimes we still need guidance. About whom? That's what matters the most. The story is one in Isaiah in which the eunuch is reading, in which Philip is preaching about. It is one that brought hope back to the time of Isaiah. It is one that significantly brought hope to an Ethiopian on this day. And it is one that continues to bring hope in God's timing to each and every one of us. Because as Philip began to speak, starting with the very scripture he was on, at the right exact moment he runs up and he meets him and he's reading aloud this particular passage. Philip overhears it and he runs up and he says, do you understand what you're reading? The Ethiopian says, I don't. I need guidance. And he begins right there in that moment and he preaches to him the good news about Jesus Christ. And in a deserted region where people worry about travel because they wonder if they will have enough water and enough food if something was to go wrong to get to their destination. At this exact time, they pass enough water for him to look over and say, well, look, here's water. Stop right there. We want to run on to talk about the essentiality of baptism, which is true, and miss the very idea that we are in a wilderness, a deserted area in which there is usually not much water. And the timing is just right. God is working in this. They came to some water. Look, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? You responding. What prevents you today, if you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what prevents you this very day? Just a matter of responding. Of saying, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that, then it is time to command this entire assembly to cease from whatever you were about to do. It is time for us to cease from any ideas of what might be coming for the rest of the week. And it is time for us to make the waters ready that I have no doubt are probably already prepared behind us. and one of the good people of this congregation, we'd be glad, or I would be glad, I don't, whoever, somebody here will be glad to assist you as Philip did for this Ethiopian so many years ago. To stop everything and to get it done. The good news traveled onward, as it will continue to travel onward. Because on this day, when this individual decided to respond, as I hope maybe someone here is thinking of doing, but when this person decided to respond, this Ethiopian, they came up out of the water, and it says, just like that, the Lord snatches Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip, it says, was found at Azotus. He was passing through the various regions, and it says he continued to proclaim the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. I'll leave you with this particular image on the screen. I love this image. I just saw it a few days ago on Facebook. You see what that is, right? It's an old tree. And what's growing up from the midst of that tree, what used to be a tree that is no longer, had died or whatever had happened, maybe had been destroyed in a storm or something to that effect. And there is a new tree growing right from out of the midst of that. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an image of rebirth, of springing up out a tree, but with newness of life? The same, but yet something different. Because in Christ, you are something different. And that good news will continue to travel, hopefully in you. If you have a need, will you respond as we now stand and we sing at this time?